Okay. You hear me okay, right? Yes? Good. Okay. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday night shiur for the week of Shabbos Parshas Metzora. Of course, Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol, and the discussion this evening will focus on something relating to Pesach. I'm sure all of us took a little time now out of our Pesach preparations to attend the shiur, so shkoyach for coming. And what I'd like to do tonight is look at a Haggadah topic. Specifically, the question is printed at the top of the Mamre Komas. Why does the story of our Geula begin with a reference to Lavan? We know that towards the beginning of the Haggadah, or the main part of the Haggadah, when we darshan various psukim, right after Vehishamdu, we say, Tseyolamad, Ma Bikesh Lavan Harami, right? We talk, go out and learn what it is that Lavan Harami tried to do to the, Yaakovino, and so on. And we bring up a little bit about Lavan, and then we go on and darshan the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we'll see the details momentarily. But that's we do that because the Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Kuf Tes Zayin and Aleph, the first of the sources, says that Mozgulo Kos Sheni, right? We pour the second cup of wine at the beginning of the section we call Magid. Okay, we pour the second cup of wine, and Rekana Bein Shoel, right? The child asks, brings out the Manishtana. The Manash Tanna appears in this Mishnah is not exactly the same four questions we have, because there's a question about eating roasted meat and so on in connection to the Korban Pesach. That was with Zana Bias. But the other questions about matzah and mora are there and so on. And also the dipping of the karpas is there as well. And then it says towards the end of that Mishnah, the end of source one, it says, Ulfi daito shel bein ovim lamdo, and the parents teach based on the knowledge level and ability of the child. And then it says, when you tell the story, maschul begnus umesayim b'shvach. You have to start with the gnus. Gnus means the embarrassing part, the bad part of the story, the negative part of the story. Umesayim b'shvach. You end with the praise. You end with the good part. We'll come back to that. And then this is the key for us this evening. It says at the end of the Mishnah, v'doreish me'arami oved avi ad sheyigmor kol haparsha kulot. You have to darshan psukim in the parsha called Arami Oved Avi, that whole section, that whole parsha. What's Arami Oved Avi? So that's in source number two, the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, in Dvarim Perek Chavvav, talks there about the mitzvah we call Mikra Bikurim. We know that a farmer in Eretz Yisrael, so when his first fruits grow, he has to take, as the Pasuk says in Perek Chavvav there in Dvarim Pasuk Alev, B'hoi Kisavo Aretz, etc. You come into land, and it says in Pasuk Beis, you have to take the first of all the fruits, and you bring it to the place where Hashem shall choose, Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. Pasukim of us as a kohen, you come to the kohen, and the kohen takes in Pasuk Dalet, Lakach HaKohen Atenem Yadecha, the kohen takes the basket of fruit from you. And starting in Pasuk Hey, the next several psukim, you, the farmer, must make a declaration called Mikra Bikur V'Amirt, you say the following, Arami Oved Ovi. See what that means. Vayered Mitzrayim, right? Eventually, our ancestors came down to Mitzrayim. Vayogar Shamim, same out. We came down with a small number, and so we increased. And the Pasuk Vavayero, son of Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, treated us poorly. That's the understood definition. And Pasuk Zion, Vanitzak al Hashem, we cried out to Hashem. And Pasuk Ches, Vayose Hashem, Mitzrayim, Yor Chazok, was on the two, etc. Because Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. There you have a little synopsis in just a couple of psukim of the early history of the Jewish people, and the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then Pasuk Tes, Vayivino Amokom Hazeh, brought us here to Eretz Yisrael, and now Pasuk Yud, Vihinei Evesius, Reishis Pri Adam, here I brought the first of my fruits, from here in Eretz Yisrael, and you put it down over there, and you bow, and V'samachta B'cholatov, you rejoice, and so on. Those are the Pesukim and Parshat Kisavo, called Mikra Bikurim. What does it have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Nothing really, except that you have a declaration which summarizes in a few psukim what happened in Mitzrayim. So that's the parsha of Arami Ravi Ravi, to which the Mishnah in Pesachim Kupta Zanam and Aleph refers at the end of the Mishnah, the end of source one. V'doresh Marami Ravi Ravi. What does it mean, v'doresh? It means you have to extrapolate and expound upon those psukim, those phrases, in those couple of psukim Arami Ravi Ravi. As far as Masla B'gnus and Messiah B'shef as a side point, the Gemara in that mission is Pesachim Kupta Zanam and Aleph. The Gemara says, what does it mean, Masla B'gnus Messiah B'shef? My B'gnus, what's the bad part? That's the famous Machokas, Rav and Shmuel. Rav Omer Mitchila Ovdei Avodas Elilim Ayavoseinu. The negative, the bad, is that we were once idolaters. And we go back, and we actually, you mentioned in the Haggadah, goes back to Terach Avi Avram, goes back to Terach, the father of Rome, was an idolater. That's the embarrassing, that's the negative part. Shmuel Omer Avodah Hayinu. And Shmuel said, no, we go back to Avodah Hayinu, that's the bad part, that we were slaves. Okay? And Rabbi Hananel notes there in the Gemara Pesachim, Kuf Tezan and Aleph, in source number four, that Rav Yosef, you know, there it's a machok is Rav and Rav Yosef, not Rav and Shmuel. Okay, same idea. But look at the last few words of source 4. Inna avdina kitravayu. Nowadays, we do both. And that's correct. Our Haggadah, we mention Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Vaseinu, and we mention Terach Avi Avram and so on. And of course, we also say Avodah Mayinu, so we kind of combine both. In the Haggadah, the commentary in the Haggadah from the Ritva, which I have in source number 5, it says Avodah Mayinu Zeut, when we come to Avodah Mayinu, so Zeut Tchilas Haggadah, according to Shmuel, that's the beginning, that's the bad part. Then he quotes the Machok as Rav and Shmuel, and he says, okay, at the end of the third line, Mistaber Shalom Nechleku El Be'ezim Atchilin. Machlokis is what do we start with, right? Both Rav and Shmuel agree, according to the Ritva, they have to mention both the bad, in the sense that we came from idolaters, and the bad that we're avoiding. Well, my question is, what's at the beginning? We pass like Shmuel that at the beginning is Avodah Mayinu, right? Okay, that's what he says. But basically, there's no real machlokis, okay? And Rav says you start with Mitzchila of the Varazar of Aseder because that's the order. Okay, so Rav says the other way, the other Mora says the other way, because that's the Iker tonight is about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But again, anyway, we do both, and he writes to the end there of 5, if it's really a machokas, and each one was insistent only on his views, it turns out we're not doing anybody. Because one says you got to begin with Avodah Mayinu, the other says you got to begin with Tchilas Avodah Mayinu. So we do both, so in a certain sense, not doing like anybody. Okay, similarly, the Netziv in the Maror Meisodah, that's his commentary on the Gemara, there in Pesachim Kuv Tzad Zanam Aleph, he also writes, Lo shenechlku b'seder Haggadah. There's no argument to the order of the Haggadah. Question is, what's the emphasis and so on? Okay, same idea. The Meiri also says, come out that the ideas are linked together. But whatever it is, that's the Masal Magnus or Messiah B'Shevach. Now, in terms of the Parsha Arami Oved Avi, so you look in the Sifrei, there in Dvarim Parshas Kisavo Piska Shin Aleph Osei in source number 8. So the Sifrei says, some of the things we have in Haggadah, we darsh in the Pesukim. What does it mean, we darsh in the Pesukim? Those that look back in source number 2, Pesukim, it's Pesukim Hei through Ches, those 4 Pesukim. We take each word or each couple of words and we explain what it means, because those Pesukim are just a synopsis, a short version form. And so we do it when it says Doresh. Notice the words of the Mishnah at the very end of source 1 there in Pesachim Kuvta Zanam Alav. It says the Doresh. Doresh means to like a medrash. What a medrash usually does, you've all studied medrash. What a medrash usually does, it takes a word or two from a pasuk and then elaborates what it means, either in halacha, medrash halacha, or it's a homiletic message, medrash agadah, what this phrase means from a, you know, from an agadic perspective, whatever. But that's how medrash works, and that's the responsibility here. That's the requirement here, to take every word or every couple of words, every phrase from those psukim hei tu ches and perak chavav of Dvarim and Parshas Kisavo from the Mikra Bikurim, and expound upon each one of those phrases and say what it means is. And there's some examples there in the Sifrei, right? By Yered Mitzrayim, for example, in Source 8, Milam Mitzal Yard Lishtakel Lagorsham, which is exactly what we say in the Haggadah. They went down to Mitzrayim, but they only intended originally to stay there temporarily, but they ended up staying there longer than temporarily. Again, that doesn't say that in the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo. That's what it means to darshan, to expound, to extrapolate, okay, to develop what the pasuk means, okay, and you know, various other things that they mentioned over here. B'mseh ma'at, the small number. What does that mean? It doesn't say what number. So from elsewhere, we extrapolate. We cite psukim elsewhere to back up our exposition. When you explain what the pasuk means, then you, in a medrash, you darshan the pasuk, and then you bring a source to back up what you said. So it says, what was the number 70? Because elsewhere it says b'shivim nefesh, etc. So that's the idea of expounding upon these psukim. And that's what we do in the Haggadah. You take a look in source number 9, the Yalkut Shimoni. Says, similar, Arami Overa, Tzeh Rabav, Mabikesh Larva Harami, and so on. Kol Seder Shal Haggadah Lel Pesach. The Yalkut Shimoni doesn't print everything. It's all in the Haggadah. So this is the idea of Dash Psukim. You look in Rav Amram Gon's Siddur, in Seder Pesach, he explains that that's what Darshan means. It's not enough just to read it. He says, you look in the source 10, Kach Amar Avnu Tzunai Gon, right? You just read psukim kemoshein. You just read the psukim. Says the Rav Amagon, the Yotze. This is not like Kriyas Torah or Kriyas Shema. We just have to read psukim. You know, the Mishnah does not mean just to take those 4 psukim from Parashat Kisavo and just read them. And the whole seder would last 6 minutes, right? No, the whole idea is to darshan, is to take those psukim and analyze them and explain them, take each phrase and darshan what Chazal darshan. That's what the Rambam Gaon says. Anyone who doesn't do that, he just reads the psukim. He says, you're like a heretic, you know, kofar and so on. What do you mean? It means you have to darshan. That's the idea. Okay, and the truth is, I always said as a younger person, now they do it, not because I said it, other people have the same idea, but sometimes it looked in many old-fashioned agadas, you know, it was a little confusing because you seem to have all these psukim, you know, it looked like Malchus, Zichonos, and Shofros, and Rosh Hashanah, they have all these psukim, you know, and how do you figure out what? And the answer is there are four main psukim, and I always said they should print the four main psukim in bold print, and then the take each phrase in bold and say, and then in little print what that means. The next one in bold, little print what that means, and so on. So now they do know how to go to it. Again, other people are the same idea. And they do different colors or different fonts, right? You have the different. Now you see which are the four main psukim, and they take each phrase from those four main psukim. We expound upon them by bringing other psukim to back it up, and so on. So that's how it works. It has to be darshan. You look at the Rambam, Parag Zayin of Ilchas Chometz Umat Halacha Dalet 11. Says first of all, Tzorach LaHasul B'Gnusul Sain B'Shoach, as we mentioned, and it says we mentioned Shemitchila Hov the Avosenu Meitarach and so on, or Kofrim and heretics and the idolaters and so on. And on the second line there of 11, V'chein Maschel Odiya Shavodam Hayin L'Far Mitzrayim. We pass like both, like we said before, and then he says, then you have to tell over the miracles. How do you do that? V'hu Sheyidrosh Me'arami Ovedavi Ad Shigbor Kol HaParsha and Kol HaMosif Amarach. Okay, good. And then we know that whoever does more Meshubach. That's the idea. That's the basic structure of the main part of the Maggid. It's unfortunate because according to the Mishnah, that's really the main part. Very often in many Siddurim, you know, there are a lot of comments and discussion about Holach Manya, a lot of discussion about Manashtana, and then the Avodah Mayinu, and then the rabbis just stayed up all night, and then what do you call it, then the Baruch HaMakom, and the Arba Bonim. And then you come to this, which comes after Yisham, the people diving it up very quickly, Dayenu. You know, according to the mission, this is exactly the part we're supposed to discuss in detail and try and understand what these psukim mean. Anyway.
Can I ask a question about the Rambam? I know it's not a part of our shir, but I know it's both. But is he passing like more like Rav? How does he say Kesad Maskil Masapir? Then he says V'chein Maskil Modia. Like, how does he reconcile the Kesad Maskil and V'chein Maskil?
He's just doing chronology. It's not what we do. It's a good horror. I don't have to think. He doesn't, it's not the way we do. We have a Avodah Mayinu first.
I know. So I'm saying, what is this? Possibly more like this? I have to get at his Agada, actually.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Anyway, it's all one unit. As the Maggid Mishnah points out, Maschil B'Nus Ma'am Shevach, how do you do that? Arami Oved Avi. Can you hear what he's saying? The Maggid Mishnah points out there in Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet on that Rambam that the two parts of the Mishnah, look at the end of source two, the two parts of that Mishnah, of end of source, one rather, the end of that mission when it says Maschil B'Nus Masami Shavah Dorish Marami Oved Avi, that's one unit. You might you tell the bad part, you go back to Harami Oved Avi. We'll have to see what that means. But the truth is, this idea of Darshan and Psukim is really very, very critical to the whole Seder experience. It's really part of the definition of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You look in 13, I'm not going to say it inside, but the Rabbi Chaim Brisker, the Kedusha Grach, on that Gemara Psochem, Kufta Zanam and Aleph, discusses, you know, there's a mitzvah to recall Yetzias Mitzrayim every night of the year, not just on Pesach. Right, we always do that. We daven Maariv. We say Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Tzeisis Chameret Mitzrayim at the end of Kriyat Shema, and then we have the bracha after Kriyat Shema. It's Mitzrayim Galtano, right? All these things about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the people wonder. So what's the difference? You're supposed to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every night and every day of the year. It's part of the brachos. It's part of Kriyat Shema and the brachos Kriyat Shema. So why is this night different than all the nights? What's special about this night? Right. So Chaim points out that there's some fundamental distinctions between the nightly mitzvah and the daily mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he mentions three things. There are others. Salvation get it, others. But the three things that he mentioned is that on this night, there's a requirement. There's three things, right? Aleph, usually all you got to do is mention it. But here, you got to tell the whole story. Derech Shela Tshuva, question and answer. Start with the Manashtana. So it's regular night. You don't have to go into all the, you don't have to have a whole question and answer. Just mention it. And Bey's Sipur Tzorach L'Saper Kol HaYishtalshalos on the fifth line there. Okay, you have to tell the whole story. That's the idea of Maschil B'Gnus. You don't have to do that. We don't have to mention in Kriyat Shema, when the Birchas Kriyat Shema, that we were slaves or that our grandfathers were idolaters and so on. We don't mention that at all. We just say Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. It doesn't give us the whole background. Here in Pesach night, now you have to give the whole background. The third thing he says is you have to talk about the mitzvahs of the evening. That's Rav Gamliel, Pesach Matzamar, and so on. But anyway, the idea of Maschil B'Gnus and Messiah Mishrach and telling the whole story from soup to nuts, from A to Z, from beginning to end, from the bad to the good. Arami Oved Avi, that's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But, and that's how the Rambam kind of unites them. You look in source 14 in Perek Gimel, Perek Ches, and Luchas Chomes Matzah, Luchas Gimel, Maschil B'Gnus, Bekore Ad Shegomer, Drash, Parshas Arami Oved Avi Kula, the whole Parsha. We don't exactly say the whole parsha. That's a further question. But okay, could be because, you know, it continues. You look back in source one, source two. It continues, you know, we came to this place. Some say in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, I did say that part. We don't say it because we're not there anymore. Okay. Anyway, the idea of this is, and that's what the Rid points out, the Piske Rid, there, Amsachim Kuf Tezanim Al-Alf, he says, the whole idea is that you're supposed to come to the good part at the end and so on. That's the Hallel and so on. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tell the whole story so you can see how great Hashem is, the whole kindness of Hashem. That's how in the source 16, the Haggadah shall pay some Zevach Pesach. That's by the Abarbanel. That's his comment on the Haggadah. He says it's you have to darshan everything because, you know, because that's how the Mikra Bikurim, the guy farmer, brought his food. Also, he started Tarami Ovid Avi and so on. So we have to thank Hashem in the same way. Okay, there's some books about that they can look into. The Rosh Hashanah says, not Rambam, Paragzana, Lachadalad, in 17, and the Rosh Hashanah says, this is what it means, you know, why we pick, because you can ask, why do we pick this Parsha? Why not just say the Psukim from Sefer Shmos, when the story happened, the narrative? Why do you take these particular Psukim from Chumash Dvarim, which ostensibly have nothing to do with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's a synopsis of the events, why not just look at the Psukim in the Torah, which describe the narrative as was happening? Why here? The Rosh Hashanah points out something interesting. He said, if you look back in source number two, you'll see how the Torah says in above Pasuk Hey of Dvarim, there in Parashas Kisova, source two, Pasuk Hey, the Anisa v'Amarta. What does Anisa? It means answer, to declare. The Anisa v'Amarta. Matzah, as we know, is called Lechem Oni, right? What does Lechem Oni mean? Lechem She'oni v'lo Dvarim Harbe, right? That's the Pasuk in Parashas A, 18. Dvarim Perak Tazayin Pasuk Gimel. It says Matzah is called Lechem Oni. Now, the usual, more famous translation of Lechem Oni means poor man's bread. Lechem Oni, from the word ani, a poor person, right? It's only $35 a box, poor man's bread, right? Okay, but the other definition of Lechem Oni is Lechem, the Gemara says in Pesachim, Lamed Vav Med Aleph, okay, Rekiva, and later Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Lechem Oni, Lechem She'oni, Malav Dvarim Harbi. We tell many things in connection with this matzah. That's what the matzah is supposed to be revealed, uncovered during the Haggadah. Except when you make a broch on the wine, like a kiddush, like we cover the challah, cover the matzah too. But the rest of the Haggadah, we pick up the wine by Vehi Shomda, we cover the matzah. But the rest of the time, the matzah should be exposed, should be visible. Because Lechem She'onim, Olo Dvar Rabbi, we talk about many things. And this particular parsha about Yetzias Mitzrayim has the expression, the Anis of Amarta, connection, says the Meir Simcha, to Lechem Oni. And Rashi says, that's why it's called. What do you mean, Onim of Dvar Rabbi? There in Psochem Lamed Vav Medal 20, She'onim of Dvar Rabbi, She'gom Rabbi Sahala, but Onim of Haggadah. Okay, so then we say the Hallel and the Haggadah and so on. So this is the this is what the Torah says in terms of Lechem Oni, and that's why we begin this particular parsha. The question now that I'd like to look at, for the rest of the shiur is, but why begin with the story of Lavan? It's a very, very strange formulation if you think about it, because if you look in source now at 21, we'll see what the Targum says in a moment. But what's the idea of starting with Lavan? Not only that, but, you know, we say that in a certain sense, you know, what Paro wasn't so bad because he only decreed against the boys. Lavan, Bikesh, Lavan, Lachar, Sokol. What are we talking about? Okay, we're trying to say, Paro wasn't even so bad compared to Lavan. Who cares? Why are we talking about Lavan? So we need to understand the following. They're not so push it that the phrase Arami Obed Ovir is talking about Lavan at all. I want to show you some classical commentaries. What does it mean, Arami Oved Ovi? First of all, it's Oved with an olive. So it's not Eved like a slate. It's like either to lose or to get lost or to get destroyed and so on. So you look in the Targum Yonason, and that Pusik and Parshas Kisavo, Dvarim Parakavav Pusik A, it says, who is the subject? Avunon Yaakov. Arami Oved Ovi is a reference to Yaakov Avinu. He was lost in Aram. Remember, he had to run away from Esav. Esav wanted to kill him after the whole story with the brachas, right? So he wanted to run away, and so he ended up in Aram Naharaim, right, where Lavan lived. So he was a stranger in a strange land, right? He was going to an uncharted territory, never been there before. So Arami Oved Avi, my father, meaning Yaakov, my ancestor, Yaakov Avinu, was like an Arami, lost in Aram. That's what it means. Okay, that's how the Keser Yonason explains the Targum Yonason in Hebrew. So it's 32, it says, Yorod Avinu, Aram Naharaim, Yorod Avinu Yaakov Mitchilos. This pasuk has nothing to do with Lavan, according to these. It's talking about Yaakov, you know, he's the subject. The Rashbam, there in Parshas Kisavo, in Parakavav, pasuk 32, the Rashbam says, you know what it's referring to? It's source 23, Okay, the Rashbam says referring to Avram Avinu. Avi Avram Aramiya. Where did Avram come from? Avram came from Aram Naharaim before he came, before Lech Lecha, before he was told to go to Eretz Yisrael. So when it says Arami Oved Ovid, it's not talking about Lovan, it's talking about Avram Avinu, which is, and eventually he had to leave, you know, the Rashbam documents the Pesukim, as we know. So that's a reference to Avram Avinu. But more commentaries learn that it's a reference to Yaakov. The Ibn Ezra there in Kisava Perkov, Chavah, Pesach 34, Oved Avi, Hakarov She'arami Hu Yaakov. Okay, and as this the Pesach says, Kasher Avi, Haya Avi Baram. Pesach means when our father, our Yaakovinu, was in Aram, Haya Oved, he was lost. Why was he lost? Atam Ani Below Mammon, he had no money. He lost all his money. Remember the story? The Medrash says that one of Esau's sons chased after him and robbed him and so on, instead of killing him. Anyway, so Yaakov Avinu arrives in this strange land penniless. So that's what it means. Arami Obed Avi, reference to Yaakov. The Rabbeinu Bachya in Source 25 says the same thing there in Parshas Kisavo. Arami Obed Avi, Karli Yaakov Arami. It means Arami. Again, he's mentioned because he's lost. Quotes Rabbeinu Avraham Ibn Ezra and so on. Even though Chazal say, was not him, but that's how he learns also. The Chizkuni in 26 says also, Arami Oved Avi, Yaakov Avi Harami, Kishorab Aram, Haya Oved. When he was in Aram, he was lost. Again, that's how the Pasuk means, all talking about Yaakov Avinu. And it's 402, there in Parshas 7:37, Hine Avi, Shoy Yaakov, Hayazman Ma, Arami Oved. He was lost for a while in Aram. He didn't have a place to live. He was a wandering person, and so on. So according to these commentaries, when the Pasuk says there in Parshas Kisavo, Arami Oved Avi, it's a reference to Yaakov, and then the next phrase, Vayered Mitzrayim, and then eventually Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim with the whole family, right? That's the flow of the pasuk. Arami Oved Avi, and then Vayered Mitzrayim. So it's all talking about Yaakov Avinu. However, that's not the way the Haggadah presents it. Look in Source 28, the Haggadah presents it, which is right after the Ishamda. Say Ulamad Ma Bikesh Lavan Arami Lasos LeYaakov Avinu. Look what Lavan wanted to do, okay? Paro only wanted to kill the males, and Lavan wanted to kill everybody. Shenemar Arami Oved Avi. The Arami there is Lavan. Lavan Arami. He's called Lavan Arami. Okay? I heard Mitzrayim, and then eventually Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim and so on. So the Arami Oved Avi there is a reference to Lavan, not to Yaakov. What does it mean? Arami, the Aramean, the Arami, Lavan, Oved wanted to, like we said in the Megillah Esther, right? Haman Bikesh Lahashmi Lahargula Abed, as called Yehudim. He wanted to destroy, Lavan didn't want to destroy Avi. But Avi is not the subject, but rather Arami obeyed Avi. This Arami, this guy Lavan, wanted to destroy Avi, our father Yaakov. That's the reference. And then eventually Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim. So that's a different way of learning, and that's the way. Melamich Harol Yarad Yaakov Aram El Amnas LaAved Ulala Al Lovon Harami Ki Ilo Ibdo. Okay, it's Lovon is credited, blamed as if he actually did destroy him. So that's the reference. Then is to Lovon Targum Unklus as well. Source 30 there in Parshas Kisavo. It says Lovon Arama Bola Abdo Yas Abo. Lovon the Arami wanted to destroy our father, and that's how Rashi also learns it. Rashi in Parshas Kisavo, made Rashi for last, but it's, you know, really Rashi goes first, right? Arami Oved Avi, you should declare this, the farmer declares this, Arami Oved Avi, second line of 41, of 31, rather, Mazkir Chaste Amokom, Arami Oved Avi, Lovon Bikesh Lakor Zakol. When was that? 1 second. We say it in Haggadah, and it's almost like we're praising, we say, Paro wasn't so bad, he only wanted to kill the boys, throw them in the river. Lovon wanted to destroy everybody. Really, when was that? The Rashi says, "Kisherodaf achar Yaakov." When Lavan pursued Yaakov, we'll see the pesukim in a second. Ubishril shechoshav lasos, because he had in mind to do that. Pishachoshav lamakom kiilo also, he's blamed as if he did it. Okay, so now we find a very fascinating idea over here, it seems to me. Okay, Lavan Arami Oved Avi is not a reference to Yaakov, it's a reference to Lavan. We said before that's where we begin this part of the Haggadah. Darshan these psukim, as the Mishnah says, Arami Oved Avi, a reference to Lavan. When did Lavan want to destroy the Jewish people again? Oh, here we have the psukim in the end of Parshas Vayetze, source 32, Rashi's Perek Lamed Aleph, starting in Pasuk Chaf. Okay, Yaakov, after he spends many years, 20 years in the house of Lavan, and he has his family, you know, and his four wives and his children, 11 sons, one daughter, Binyamin wasn't born yet, and he sneaks out. He's had enough of it. He runs away. Okay. And Vayivrach, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayivrach, Hu V'chol Shlo, he runs away. A few days later, Lavan hears what happens. Here's what happens. He rallies his men, and he chases after Yaakov, and he catches up to him. Now look at Pasuk Chaf Dalet and Bereishis, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayavo Lekima Lavan Arami. There, it's called Lavan Arami, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Lavan Arami at night, and he tells him, Yishomer Lecha Pen Dedaber Yaakov Mitov Adra. Don't you start up with Yaakov. You lay off. Hands off. Don't talk to him neither good nor bad. Well, next day, Vayasei, Pasuk Chaf Hey, Vayasei Lavan is Yaakov. Lavan catches up to Yaakov, okay? And he accuses him of stealing his idols. That's a different story with Rachel. And he says in Pasuk Chaf Zayin, at the end of Pasuk Chaf Vav, why do you run away? You took my children away, like the, you know, running away from the prisoner and so on and so forth. Okay. Why what's the idea of this? Okay. And Lama Nach basically wrong. Why did you run away? Well, he got it, he didn't tell me. You want to go home? I would have made you a big farewell party. But I had a whole banquet with a band, with orchestra, you know, it's lots of speeches. But I had a whole dinner. You know, you wanted to leave? Okay. That's what it means, right? Ashlecha b'simcha b'shim, I have a big party, right? And you didn't let me kiss my children goodbye. Now the key post across now. Chof tes, okay? Yesh le'el yadi la'asos imachem ra. I have in my power, look in Rashi, okay? Look in Rashi and post chof tes of Perek Lamed Aleph. Yesh yadi, yesh koch v'chab yadi la'asos imachem ra. I can do you serious harm right now. That's what Lavan was basically saying. I have the power, I have the ability, the strength, the men with me, soldiers, who can do you a lot of harm. But, the end of Pasuk of Tes, Elokei Avichem Emesh Amar Elai, but your God appeared to me last night and told me, don't start off, Mitov Adra. Rashi, the first Rashi, Mitov Adra, Pasuk of Dalet, because by a Rosha, the Tov is bad also. Okay, but you hear that? And then that's what the idea says, Rashi, back in Parshas Kisavo, back in Source 31, that's what it means. So Bikesh Love on Lakar is a call. Sounds like Love on had the real intention to harm Yaakov. And he said, the only reason I'm laying off is because your God spooked me tonight last night and told me to keep away. Okay, but that's what it means. Bikesh Yaakov Lakar is a call. Bikesh Love on rather Lakar is a call. The Sefer Ora, which is in the base measure of Rashi, Chelik Aleph, in the Parish Agoda, and Agoda 34. Say Olamad, Ma Bikesh Love on Arama means Kisharoda Fach Yaakov Ahaya Bidaito Lakar call. He wanted to get rid of everything. And that's in 35, the Avudram, in his commentary, Agora, Seder Agora Perusha, 35. Arami Overeve Ketagamu, Love on Arama. The Avudram sides with those who say that when it says in the Pasuk, Arami Overeve, the subject is not Yaakovino, like some unfortunately saw say, but rather like in Agora, that Lovan is a subject. When he chased after Yaakov, and he said, Yesh, I could have harmed you, and so on. Yesh, Shechosh of Laso, Zachisha, Kodabroch, Yilo Aso. Right? The Kodabroch blames him if he did it. Okay? And that's Orchas Chaim also, in his commentary to the Haggadah in Os Lamed Ches in 46, okay, 36. It says, Lovan Bikesh Lakor Pirsh Kishorot V'Hayakov Ad Shemal Hashem. Hashem told him not to do it. That's why he didn't do it. Otherwise, he would have done it. So that's why we speak, and we speak there about Lovan, and we say, whereas Paro only wanted to destroy the males, Lovan Avrami wanted to destroy Yaakov Avinu completely. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Russia. You take a look in the Yerushalmi in 37, in Peah. Barak Aleph Alach Aleph, right? By a tzaddik, okay, is one thing, but by a non-Jew, by a Russia, Machshava Tova Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Ma'isa, Machshava Ra Kodesh Baruch Hu Ma'atzarav Ma'isa. By tzaddik, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him credit even when he can't do it, okay? And he had in mind to do a mitzvah, wasn't able to do it, he gets credit. Russia is the exact opposite. That's the idea. Same thing in the Medrash Tilim and Shochet Tov in 38, Mizmor Lamed. Okay, I mean, it's the same idea that by some people, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, sort of blames them based on their intention. I don't go into the whole, you know, the whole idea of that, but that's what happened here with Lavan. So now, if you take a look, when is this found in Agoda? It fits in very well, because we can still wonder, but why mention Lavan? Okay, Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov. Good, not good, but okay. But what's that got to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? We're talking here tonight about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? And it's almost, we say, you think Paro is bad? Lavan was even worse. Okay, maybe he was. But what, why bring this up in the Haggadah now? What's it got to do with anything? Earlier in our history, a couple hundred years before, you know, Lavan had designs on harming Yaakov. Okay. But what's got to do? Okay, is really the question. Why bring it up in the Haggadah? It's not part of Sipriyas Yitzrayim. So I think the answer to that is, and look at 39, what comes right before that is, of course, V'hisha Amda, right? And in V'hisha Amda, in words that I've said already many times in recent weeks, those words have never rung more true in our lifetime, anyway, lifetime on this Shir, you know, than they do this year. Shalo echad bilvad omdon chaloseinu elish mechol dor v'dor omdon chaloseinu. It's not only one person who's stood against us to try and annihilate us, but in every generation, people try and do it. Okay. And the Ritva's comment, okay, that's exactly the flow. Take a look in 40. Now, God plays the Ritva, right? Zeh Shem Chol Dod Ono Chanaseno, because Baruch Hu protects us. Afilu Bizman Yaakov Atzadeg. Goes all the way back to Yaakov. That's why we bring up Lavan. This idea of Bechol Dor Vador Om Dod Ono Chanaseno goes all the way back to Yaakov. Lavan tried to, that's the idea. It flows from Ahisha Amda and from Bechol Dor Vador Om Dod Ono Chanaseno. That's what the Shmuel HaLeket, his Seder Pesach, in Reish Yud Ches, 41. Klomar, lo ha-mitzrim b'vad. We're going to talk mostly tonight about Mitzrayim, but we've got to know right at the beginning of the story, it wasn't just in Egypt that this happened. Al b'chol dor v'dor. Okay? It wasn't just the, there was a gullus of, and from the time of the Bris Ben Absarim. Okay? And it really relates to that the story, and that's exactly, says the Shmuel HaLeket, while we go right from there, from the words, b'chol dor v'dor, om nalei chaloseinu, into the story of Lavan. Okay, we go back because it started with that. Okay, so now we understand a little more why Lavan is mentioned here, because we need to know the Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't a one-time, you know, the Shibud in Mitzrayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saving us wasn't a one-time event. It goes all the way back to Yaakov. But it's interesting because some raise the question, okay, but you know, once we're doing that already, there was someone who seemed to be even worse than Lavan, and that's Esav. Why not go back to Esav? Why not talk about Esav? Look in 42. Parsha told us, Bereshit Perchav Zayin, Pasuk Malav, Memalav, Vayistom Esav is Yaakov. Esav hated Yaakov, it says. And not only that, but at the end of that Pasuk, he said, Yiku Rime Ev Avi, when my father dies, Ahargo is Yaakov Achi, I'm going to kill Yaakov. He says it straight out. Okay? I mean, I always say Velibo, he says it to himself. But I mean, clearly, I mean, he certainly had designs on Yaakov. He said, I'm going to kill him. Right? And later on, after more than 20 years away, in the beginning of Parsha Vayishlav, Perk Lamed Beis, when Yaakov is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, he hears that Esau's coming at him with 400 men. You know the story, right? It says the Esau's got 400 men. Gam Halechli Kosva, Pasuk Zion, Perk Lamed Beis, Gam Halechli Kosva, Rameos Ish Imo, and Pasuk Chesva, Yira Yaakov, Ahod by Yetzo. Yaakov was frightened, terribly frightened. Okay? And Rashi says, Yira Shema Yehoreg, by Yitzam Yaakov Achayim. He was scared of being killed, or he was scared of me after kill in order to save his life. So why love him? You know, Esav seemed to be even worse, right? Esav, I mean, when he was coming, and Yaakov was petrified. Okay, so, you know, why not mention anything about Esav? So the Abarbanel, not in his Kagoda, but in his comment on the Chumash, there in Parshas Kisavo, Merchavav Pasuk Gimel, he says again, he talks about Lavan and so on, and suggests that Lavan relates more to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm saying it outside. Basically, what generated going down to Mitzrayim in the first place? And the answer is the jealousy and hatred the brothers had for Yosef, right? They threw Yosef into the pit and they sold him into slavery. Eventually, he saved Mitzrayim and the rest of the land out of famine. The brothers came down. The whole story, as we know, in the end of Chumash Bereishis. But that's what the Abarbanel writes. The brothers had this kinna and this sinna for their brother Yosef. And that's really what got the ball rolling that landed up, that made the whole family end up going down to Mitzrayim. The Abarbanel says, where'd that come from? I don't understand. The brothers, sons of Yaakov, sons of Yaakov, grandsons of Yitzhak, great-grandsons of Avram. Where did that kind of jealousy and hatred come from? So Barbanel said, you know, it came from the mother's family. Rivka herself was a tzaddikus. But look where she came from. She came from Lavan, right? So those traits came down. So that's how Barbanel suggests why we bring up Lavan, because that relates to the Yetzias Mitzrayim story, because what caused it was the hatred and the jealousy and so on. Interesting idea. The Alshich says something similar there in Parshat Yisrael, Perchava Pasuk, hey, in 46, he said, Masha Gilga goes Mitzrayim, like Arami, right? And it really, he said, a little different angle. He said, what caused the jealousy of the brothers? Because Yosef got preferential treatment. Yosef was treated as if he was the firstborn, right? But he wasn't, Reuven was. Yeah, but Yosef was the firstborn of the wife that Yaakov really wanted to marry in the first place, Rachel. It was only because Lavan was deceitful and made him marry Leah first. That caused the whole jealousy. If Yosef would have gotten special treatment, he had been the oldest. Okay, they understand the oldest gets preferential treatment before Pishnaim and everything else. But says the Alsa, what caused the whole thing was Lavan by switching wives on him. So it's an interesting approach. From that's why the story of Lavan fits in more to the Yosef Mitzrayim. The fact that Esav hated Yaakov, that got nothing to do with Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim. But there's other interpretations. This one does. The jealousy of Yosef to the brothers, and maybe came from the mother's family, that's from the Abba Arbanel, the Alshon's approach, that it was really because of Lavan that the whole problem with Yosef developed, because he wasn't from the firstborn from the wife who wanted to marry, that whole jealousy. The Maharal, the Gurus Hashem, Perek Nun, Dalad 47, has another thing, okay? And his basic approach is, and again, I'm saying it outside just to save some time, he says, with Esav, he said, you know, Esav had a good reason for not liking Yaakov, at least in his mind. Yaakov tricked him, and he took the brachas and so on, and that's what Esav got mad about. Okay, Esav, in a certain sense, maybe doesn't justify such strong feelings and wanted to kill him, but at the end of the day, Esav had some logical reasons for not liking Yaakov. Lavan had no reason. Lavan, you know, Yaakov was coming to him for help and so on. Why did Lavan, later on, he figured out with the animals, but at least the beginning when he tricked them with the wives, Lavan was deceitful to Yaakov and two-faced in the very beginning. Why? So says the Maharal, he says, that's the idea. Sometimes we have enemies that makes no sense. Makes no sense. There are enemies that we have. I heard this myself, Rav Soloveitchik once commented to Chana Rocha, I was in the shiur in the 1970s, I forgot already what the issue was, some issue in the United Nations. And the Rav said, late 70s, I forgot what was one of them, condemning Israel, whatever it was, you know, happened so many times, I can't remember which one. But anyway, the Rav said that he understands why European countries harbor ill feeling towards Jews and you know, hence towards Israel. After all, you know, Jews, the Poles knew Jews, and then they feel maybe they were jealous, or maybe they were, you know, had bad business dealings sometimes with them, whatever, you can understand. You can understand the anti-Semitism. But he said, the Chinese, why is China always voting against Israel? Rav said, well, they don't know from Israel, they know from Jews, they never had any exposure to them, basically, right? And yet you see, said the Rav, that there's a hatred of Jews is just, you know, it's built in, and it doesn't have to make any sense. And the Maharal says, that's why we go back to Lavan and not to Esav. Esav is a different type of enemy. And Paro, too. Think about it. What in the world? The Jews were loyal citizens. Yosef had saved the country. And there was nothing that the Jews were doing anything bad. They were all nothing but, you know, model citizens in Mitzrayim. Hatred for no reason. That's why we go back to love. And that's his approach. Okay. The Malbim, there in Parshki Sava, Parakhovov, Pasuk 58, I mean, gives you, sorry, I'm off here in my numbers. But anyway, he gives a different reason. Okay. He says that Yaakov was in Golus. Yaakov was in exile. He was out of Eretz Yisrael. Let's remember, Avraham Avinu started off, you know, outside of Eretz Yisrael, but once he came to Eretz Yisrael, okay, they went down to Mitzrayim, they came back and never left. Yitzhak never left. And Yaakov suddenly had to go into Golus. And Yaakov had to run away, right, from Esav. The whole story of Yaakov happened in Golus. So says the Malbim, that's why it's the paradigm of Jews suffering in Golus. The Esav story has nothing to do with Golus. Right, there was an Eretz Yisrael, all right, but Lavan was a story in Golus. Okay, that's the Gnus and so on. That's how the Malbim takes it. You know, and that's really a fulfillment, the Malbim points out, of the Bris Ben Absarim. I printed in 49, Perak Tesvav of Brachos, Pesukim Yud Gimel Nidalad, of Romavin was told, right, Yadoa Teda Kigea Zaracha Beretz Olam, your descendants are going to be slaves in a strange land, right, Beinu Asam Arba Meo Shana, be 400 years. Okay, 400 years. That wasn't 400 years. It's a long Rashi in 50 explaining, it was 400 years from the birth of Yitzhak, but really they were only in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Okay, 210 years. So Salvation, others say that really Yaakov even thought, you know what, he was in exile for 22 years. And maybe thought that was the whole Bris Ben Absarim, was him in Golus. It was said 400 years, but it wasn't 400 years anyway. So however you'll get from 400 to 210, you can get from 400 to 22 also. You'll figure out a way. But whatever it is, that's the idea. And again, there are parallels in the story that Grove points out. But anyway, those are different reasons why we go back to Lavan and not Esav. Okay, Lavan is more related to the story of Mitzrayim than Esav is. But I would like to suggest a different reason. Okay, I didn't see it exactly. It picks up from the Maharal. Okay, but it's not exactly what the Maharal said. The Maharal said in 47, Maharal said that it was you love and hate it for no reason, and the Yisav had a reason. So we want to emphasize b'chol dor v'dor chalosenu is even with no good reason. But I'll take it just a slight step further. And that is that Lavan represents a different type of enemy. An enemy that we also have to acknowledge. An enemy who does not present himself as an enemy. Okay? Lavan means white, right? I mean, and this is a subtle enemy. It seems like a friend. Lavan's conversations with Yaakov are cheerful, right? Come, work for me. I work for free. Let's work out a price, right? And like you had in the puzzle before, you wanted to leave, I would have made you a big farewell banquet. Well, we're friends, right? That's the enemy. That's a subtle enemy of Lavan. Okay, Esav, we know that Esav's an enemy. Halachah we do Esav son of Yaakov. Esav, we know. He said he wants to kill his brother. Lavan never said that. Lavan, even when he tricked Yaakov and gave him the wrong wife, and Yaakov said, "What do you mean?" He said, "What can I do? That's the law of our land. That's our practice. Can't help it. Don't blame me. It's the rule, right?" That's a Lavan's duplicitous guy, and it's a different type of enemy. It's a backstabbing enemy that you don't realize an enemy. And today, I mean, unfortunately, we have people, we know Hamas and some of the enemies. We've seen now people we never know enemies. It turns out they are enemies. We've seen that in the last 6 months, like never before, in our lifetime. And the Holocaust was different. The Holocaust was too. Jews got along very well with Germans before the Holocaust, right? I mean, they were friends and colleagues and else. And all of a sudden, it turns out people are enemies. That's what we're being warned about. That's the idea of starting with Lavan, okay? Esav, we know Yaakov can handle. He looked in part of Yishlach, Perkalam and Gimli, after they met, they made up, whatever. Esav said, "Let's travel together." And Yaakov said, no, okay. I got little kids and whatever. We'll meet up another day. That refers to Alumo Shimbar Tzion Lishpotasar Esav, Rashi says, right, eventually. But in the meanwhile, Yaakov knows to stay away, okay? Yaakov knows to stay away. Lavan was worse, okay? Lavan, you can't figure out, okay? And the truth of the matter is, well, we'll come back to this point, but take a look at the fascinating comment from the Netziv. There in Parshat Kisavo, Perkovov, Ponsake, Arami Ovid of the Hamek Dover, he says, interesting, because the Arami were the worst. He quotes a Chazal. He said, really the Bnei Yisrael, after the Jewish people, after the Churban HaBayis Rishon, were supposed to be exiled to Aram. Look at the second line of 54. Ukhasharo Kadosh Baruch Achzorius so Aram, Amad v'Higlon l'Bavel. They came, went to Bavel instead because Kadosh Baruch had mercy because the people of Aram were much worse. Okay, and that's what it says. Really, we should have been. And it goes back to Yaakov Avinu. Okay, Yaakov Avinu was in Aram for 22 years and really should have stayed there. But Kadosh Baruch Hu said, look at the fifth line. Of 54, Avraham Kadosh Baruch Hu Zorios Shalovon Sheoved Avi. Right there, Arami Oved Avi. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw the viciousness. Why is that vicious? Because you can't tell that it's an enemy, and that's what the Hamek Dover says. That's the flow of the pasuk. Arami Oved Avi Vayered Mitzrayim. What's the connection? So we said, okay, originally it was there, and then eventually, but the Tziv says the same thing. It's a flow. Arami Ovid Ovi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to fulfill the gullus there in Aram, but he had mercy and he said, "Oh, I'll send you down to Mitzrayim instead. It'll be better there." Okay, that's in other words, you'll be able to survive over there. Very fascinating idea. The people of Aram are seen as terrible people. There is a Gemara in Pesachim, Hey Zion and Beis, 56, Taner B'chia. Quotes a pasuk. I printed a pasuk as a obscure pasuk in Eov, Perkov, Ches Pasuk of Gimel, Elokim, it says Elokim, Haven Darko. The Gemara says what it means is Yodea Kadosh Baruch Hu 56. Yodea Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yisrael She'ena on Yechol Nekabel Gzeres. Here it says Romim Lefika Higlo Sam LeBavel. Probably do not mean Romim because clearly not because that wasn't the same time. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw they wouldn't be able to stand by the Romans, so therefore he sent them to Bavel. That's the Romans, but later. Okay, and Rashi says over there She'ain Kastem Achzarim Kisharimos. Okay, the bubbling were not as vicious. But the similar Gemara appears in Gittin, Yud Zayin of an Aleph, 58. There it says, She'ein Yecholin L'Kabal Gzeres Aromayim, not the Romans, the Armenians. Okay, so if we see, these are terrible people. And they make Gzeres and so on and so forth. Rashi says in Gittin, Yud Zayin of an Aleph, we can't learn Torah and keep mitzvahs and so on. Anyway, the idea being, and that's how the Chassam Sofer also, and that Gemara getting you, Zayin of an Aleph, in source 60 explains, okay, really, Yaakov should have been in the house of Lavan for 210 years to fulfill the bris ben Absarim. But of course, Baruch had mercy, sent it down to Mitzrayim and said, so that's the idea that we have to recognize the you know, the viciousness of Lavan. What's the idea? What's the idea? Again, because Lavan is a type of enemy you can't trust. You can't trust him. Okay? And that says the Kli Yoker over there in Parshas Vayetzi and Hashem. In other words, you know, he some suggest that, you know, he said about the children, they're my children, Abanos Banai, but you know, I want to raise them my way, and so that's Laker Sakol. Not so we want to kill them, we want to take them over. But the Kli Yoker says something else. Take a look at, you know what I'm just saying, that some suggest that when Lavan wanted to lock her as a coal, not necessarily kill them, we want to take them for himself and raise them his way. Right? Okay, but the Kli Yoker says something different. He comments, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say again? Take a look at Lavan's speech in 32. It says, Yeshua, he's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him right before that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Lavan in a dream and told him, Yishama l'cha pentadaberim Yaakov, mitov adra. What kind of expression is that, mitov adra? Neither good nor bad. So Kli Yoker says, we're three things. Rishona, Osar lo dabri mo mitov, even good things. What's the matter? Why can't he say, hello, shalom aleichem? Not even good things. Why? Because you can't trust him. Ki tovoson shoshoim roi yetzel atarikim. Because even the good is no good either. Because, you know, he wants to harm him and he'll talk good, but it really means other things and so on. Number one. Number two, even mitov adra, even things are middle, things are neutral. Things we get double entendre. I never meant that, right? He goes, oh, I didn't mean that. You misunderstood. Don't talk about that either. Certainly not ra. Okay? That's the idea of love. And love is tricky. Even as tov, even as neutral, it's ra. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, just don't talk to him. Mi tov ad ra. Okay? And it's interesting. That's why the Gemara says in Yuma, pei vav mid beis, 63. Mefarsim es hachanofen. When you find people, Rashi there explains in Yuma, pei vav mid beis, 64. When you see people of duplicitous, they seem to be tzaddikim, and you know that they're not. Halacha is Yuma Peivav Amud Beis 63, Mefar Simin, publicize it. Let people know, it's based on a pasuk in Chizkiyahu Paragimel Pasachav, I print in 62. Right, you should warn somebody because there are people who could get tricked up and think that this guy's a good guy. They'll follow him, they'll listen to him, and really steering them in the wrong direction. Okay, so that's the love on threat. The threat of Lavan is somebody who appears to be friendly and nice and a good guy, and really he's your enemy and he's plotting against you behind your back. And that's what the Gemara says. You see someone like that, you should publicize so other people won't get ensnared. Many people think, oh, no, not so bad, right? And then it turns out that they're doing terrible things. That's the idea of Lavan. Not only that, but if you look in Parshas Vayishlach, I'm not going to read all Pesukim now, starting 65. Perek Lamed Beis, Pesukim Testu Chav Beis. This is how Yaakov, you know, prepared himself for that fateful meeting with Esav, you know, when he was approaching with the 400 men and so on and so forth. What did Lo? So we all know, okay? He davened Takadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer Yaakov and Pesuk Yud of Perek Lamed Beis. Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov davened, and he said, and he also sent him gifts. Okay, he sent him gifts. He said, you know, the animals and so on. And then he also, I skipped the beginning. He prepared himself for war also. He divided his camp into two. Okay, then he davened. And then he says he prepared himself with gifts, right? All these animals and so on. So we know, Rashi says, right out of order, but you can see it there yourself. Look in 66. Rashi in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tes, and Bereishis, right? Hiskin Atzmo L'Shlosha Dvarim. Okay, L'Doron L'Tfila Mechama. Yaakov Avinu, Rashi prints it out of order. He prepared a gift, he prepared davening, he prepared for war. What does that mean? That means Yaakov knew on his own how to deal with Esav. He knew how to prepare for a confrontation with Esav. It's interesting, I'd just like to point out, why don't we find, we read before, that the night before Lavan's confrontation with Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in a dream and tells him, hands off. We don't find that. Well, how come the night before Esav met up with Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't come to Esav in a dream and tell him, hey, don't start up with him? Isn't that interesting? It's an interesting distinction. Okay, the end of Parshas Vayetzeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Lavan, you know, keep away from him, don't start up with him. He doesn't tell Esav the same thing. Why not? So the answer, I think, is because Yaakov could handle Esav himself. He knew how to prepare for Esav. But Lavan is a much trickier guy. It's like boxing in the dark. You don't know how to prepare. Okay, that's the idea. And it's very interesting that the Tziv has a treatise, an essay on anti-Semitism. It's available in English. Okay, well, I think they call it English, Why the Jews? It's called Share Yisrael in Parakeh, source 67. He says the worst enemy, okay, is in Lavan, okay, Shakol Meshach Yaakov Bechavroso Nira Ka'oe Vareya, it says in a second one. He presented himself as a friend, a buddy, a pal, right? But really, we have to know on a third line, Shakol Vosom Shonavi Kivro Sonim Eshem Yahadus. They hate us, so many of them. Again, we see it today like never before, the anti-Semitism in this country. Not everybody, Baruch Hashem, many people not. But we see it in a more pronounced way, okay? And that's what we have to realize. That's Bechol Dor V'Dor Omne L'Chaloseinu. Even when we don't see it, that's the reference to Lavan.
It's very similar to the Gvuras Hashem, the same exact idea.
Yeah, same idea.
The same idea.
But obviously we don't recognize the Gvuras Hashem. It's similar, right? I mean, the Gvuras Hashem's emphasis was more that, you know, they had no good reason. But
that's it's a very similar idea.
My idea, I think, is taken off from there, yeah. I just printed the next couple of sources just so we're aware. You know, that's one of the differences between Hanukkah and Purim. Okay. You know, the Mordechai in the end of Psachim, in the end of the Perek Malchus Yonog and Psachim, Remez Tov Reish Hei in 68, he talks about the Sudas Rishus, okay, the Simcha of, you know, Purim, right? Purim, we have a Chiyav to have a Suda. Purim Suda. There's no Chiyav to have a Suda on Hanukkah. He said it's only a Sudas Rishus on Hanukkah. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that way. In Hilchos Chanukah, Aruch Chaim Sin Tov Reish Ayin Siv Bei 69. Rova Sudas Shemar Mohamei Mesudas Rishus. We have get-togethers and parties on Chanukah, family get-together, beautiful. But it's only Sudas Rishus. Okay, there's no obligation to have a Suda. Okay, the Rama Omar says there's a little bit of a mitzvah until the very Torah and so on. And the Taz, the Kotten Gimel there in Sin Tov Reish Ayin in Surah 7 explains why. Because on Purim, the miracle was, the threat was a physical threat. A physical threat, to wipe us out physically. Therefore, the simcha is a physical simcha, to eat and drink. And Hanukkah was more of a spiritual threat, right? There was a war also, but initially Antiochus wanted to win the Jews over, right? They should convert to become Hellenists, not religion. And Mishnah Berurah explains on the Simchat Vav too there, in Simchat Tov Reish Ayin. Okay? The decrees in the Hanukkah time related to not learning, and not Rosh Chodesh, no Bris Milah, you know, okay, I had to do our spiritual existence. So therefore, it's manifested. However, the fact still remains, okay, that we do celebrate. It may not be the exact same type of celebration, but we do celebrate. We have to celebrate both when it's a victory against an actual physical threat. We have to know, like by Hanukkah, that sometimes the threats are more subtle. It's a different type of threat. We have to recognize that as well. So I think one of the challenges of a Seder, especially this year, is to realize that B'chol Dor V'Dor Om Dor Ano Chaloseinu Rabosai, this is, we see that there are enemies we didn't realize were enemies before. They pretend to be. We're not biased. We have no agenda. You know, we're Chas V'Shalom. You know, we have nothing against Jews. It's just Zionists. You know, all this stuff. Okay, which, you know, a bunch of baloney. We know it. We see it. Okay, I mean, you know, as I said to somebody, you know, I actually said this at one of these rallies, a town council meeting, whatever. You know, all these people coming to protest here in Teaneck. You know, they go, well, we want to publicize the cause of Gaza and the Palestinians and so forth. So how come you don't find any rallies in South Hackensack, okay, or Cliffside Park or in Glen Rock or someplace? They come to Teaneck, why? They'll drive all the way from Philadelphia last week, right? 2 hours, because Teaneck is a big Jewish population. Don't tell me it's nothing against Jews, okay? And that's what we see. Even people who we didn't realize were enemies join up. And that's the lesson of B'chol Dor V'Dor Om Dor L'Chaloseinu. That's why we picked to talk about Lavan, because Lavan represents that type of enemy. The enemy's got no good reason to hate us, and certainly doesn't present that way. And the idea of us to realize that Hakadosh Baruch Hu matzilin miyadam is to try and find the hand of Hashem, even when it's not so obvious. We didn't realize it was a problem. Very fascinating thing. You know, we have two of the great Nevi'im, Yeshaya and Yechezkel. Okay, take a look at sources 72. The Karz is Yeshaya, Perek Gimel, Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel. The Karazel Zevi Amar Kadosh 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 and all the Puskets and Kedusha, Melo Chola Aretz Kodom. Right? Because Baruch was found all over. Yeshaya saw Kadosh Baruch everywhere. Melo Chola Aretz Kodom. Yechezkel, Per Gimel Pasuk Yudbeis of Yechezkel, the next source, 73, it says, Vatisein Ruach Hashem Kadosh 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 Kad He's in a certain place, okay? Not so obvious, not so revealed, not as obvious. And the Gemara Chagiga, the few Gimel with base points, what's the difference? Gemara says, they saw the same thing, but there's a difference. Okay, Yechezkel was like a Ben Kfar. He was like a guy from a village. Okay, and Yeshaya was like a Ben Krach. What does it mean? So the usual interpretation is, and that's what Rashi says, right? You know, he was more used to it. Okay, Rashi says in Chagiga Gimel and Beis, you don't ask a raw Yeshaya 75. Like he was more accustomed to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Yechezkel was. When the idea of a villager and a city dweller, you take a guy from like one of us, you know, we go to New York, we're not in a spoil from the tall buildings. You see it all the time. A guy comes from Montana or someplace, from Idaho, and comes to New York, and he sees these buildings, he can't stop staring. Whoa, right? Okay, because, you know, you come to from the farm, from out in the boondocks someplace, and you come to New York, and you see this, and it's mama staggering. We're used to it, so we don't think twice about it, right? So therefore, Yeshaya was more used to it. Rav Salavitch explains something a little bit different. He says, what do you mean, Yeshaya? We don't know who's greater, Yeshaya Chezkel. But the point is, Yeshaya saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. Why? Because Yeshaya lived and prophesied the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. I mean, he foresaw the destruction, but the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. The Gila Shechina was more apparent. That's why he's like a Ben Ir, Ben Krach. He was there. He saw it more readily. Yechezkel was a Navi in Golis. Okay? Yechezkel was a Navi in Golis. Okay? He was in Babel. Okay? And therefore, he was, you know, he didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. It's harder to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're in Golis. That's the idea of that. I'll just finish off with a fascinating thing that Rav Soloveitchik said as well. I've told it over before. You know, one of the nicknames of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mokom, which means he was in every place, the omniscient, omnipresent. So it says in the Haggadah, before the four sons, 77, Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu. Okay, good. Why that nickname? Why Baruch HaMokom? Why not Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why not Baruch Ron Shalom? I don't know. Why Baruch HaMokom? Okay. So the Rav said, what does Mokom mean? He's present everywhere. Present everywhere, we have to remind ourselves of that. When he seems not to be present, that's when we have to look for him even harder and remind ourselves and others that he's there. And where do we see that, the Rav said? So you take a look. What do we say, Rachman al-Tzant, to somebody sitting in Shiva, Tfilah Beis Avel, 79, HaMokom Yenachem Eschem Besok Shavu Yotzim. Why HaMokom? Why not say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yenachem? Ribono Shalom Yenachem. Many other nicknames. Why HaMokom? Because the bereaved family feels very often abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We remind them, Mokom, because Baruch Hu is here too. Because Baruch Hu is everywhere. So that's it. Trying to console the mourner, as difficult as it is, we recognize it to remind them, because Baruch Hu is here. And what do we say now all the time for the captives and so on? Right? Achina kol b'yisrael and asun b'atzor b'shuvia. Right? I'm omdim bein b'avim b'avosha. Hamokom yirachem aleihem. How do these people feel? Rachman al tzan, abandoned. We have to remind ourselves and them, Hamokom, because Baruch Hu is still here. And tefilas leyom kippur right before kol nidre. What do we say? Aldas Hamokom in 81. Aldas Hamokom, Aldas Hakol. Right? You feel, Kippur, you're about to recount all your Averas. You feel far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we say at the beginning of Kippur, Hamokom. That's what the Rav said. We have to search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it feels that he's abandoned us. He hasn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilam Yodam, even when it's not quite as obvious. And I'll just conclude by suggesting that perhaps the antidote to Bechol Dor Vador Om Dimalenu L'Chaloseinu is the other Bechol Dor Vador that's in the Haggadah. The Mishnah Psochem, Kuf Tezam Alef, the Mishnah starts, but this is on Kuf Tezam Beis in 82. Bechol Dor Vador Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Kilo Yotzim Mitzrayim. In every generation, we have to see ourselves that we came out of Mitzrayim. Right? That's the story of Jewish history and Jewish destiny. And the Rambam, as we know, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Zayin Alach Vav in 83, has a little bit different girsa. Bechol Dor Vador Chayav Laharos Es Atzmo. You have to demonstrate to others, because demonstrate to the children, next generation, that we're part of a people. Okay? That's the idea. We want to make sure we understand. Bechol Dor Vador, there are always people who want to annihilate us. How do we survive? Because Bechol Dor Vador, same words, Bechol Dor Vador, Bechol Dor Vador, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo. We maintain our traditions, we maintain our Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we pass it on to the next door. That's a Pasuk in Ashrei, Tilim Perakuf Memches, Pasuk Dalet. 84, Dor Lador, it's the same words, Dor Lador, Yishabach Masech, Yurasech Yagidu. And that's what the Radak explains, that we have to show things that the previous door perhaps understood better than we do, and so on, and with something we understand better, right? We admit that the transmission, Lador Vador, that's what keeps us Ashra Shechina, and that's what we earn. We earn the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzil Yadam. So we go through difficult times, we go through tzaras, especially a year like the last 6 months and so on and so forth, we seem to impress our Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is far away from us and so on, and we have difficulty. Nevertheless, we have to remember our Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is there. This is not new. We've had friends that we thought were friends, turns out enemies. It's not new. Goes back to Lavan, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu matzil in the Adam. How? By making sure that even though the whole Dor V'Dor Om Dorano Chaloseinu, it's also Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayav Adam Liros or Laharos. That's why we transmit our Mesorah and our Jewish identity, our Jewish destiny to the next generation, and we'll be Zoche to Bechol Dor V'Dor Kadosh Baruch Hu matzil in Kadosh Baruch Hu the Adam. We should wish everybody a Chag Kadosh Sameach and a wonderful Yom Tov.
Thank you.